Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Collections Podcast. As always, I am your host, Reagan, and with me, as always, are Dawn, Amanda, Dave, and Alex B. Today, we'll be talking about cancel culture and its implications on our society with the internet and how it kind of started in our history and what it means now today. We're also going to be talking about how it's effective, whether or not we think it can be reimagined to be more effective, and any other kind of uses we think that it could potentially give us in the future. So first off, we're gonna go to Alex for a little bit of background on what kind of started cancel culture to begin with.
Yeah, so if I kind of think of cancel culture as a type of boycott, and obviously boycotting has been around for a very long time, you know, with stuff like the Montgomery bus boycott and the 1980 Summer Olympics boycott. So boycotts have been in existence for a very long time. However, with the age of the internet, this kind of we have this new kind of boycott that we now call cancel culture. And when it's on the internet and on Twitter, we seem to cancel or boycott, not necessarily like a movement or like a certain corporation as much, but it's typically celebrities or people in the public eye tend to be the victims of this cancel culture. So it seems when people on Twitter have disagreements with people's with celebrities' political affiliation or their ideas or things they've said in the past, they seem to go on Twitter, the internet, and seem to submit an offer to cancel these people.
Definitely. So in a sense, like, we went from boycotting in the streets or protesting and calling people out in person to doing it on the internet. So I think that's a really important distinction to make. So a good way to just kind of talk about it in the context that we are today is to define it for today. So cancel culture is a social media derivation of mob rule, often revolving around YouTubers, celebs, and other public personalities. And canceling is the act of mass disapproval following a committed or alleged act of impropriety or illegal activity, and the utilization of hashtags, targeted posts, and other public displays of abhorrence are undertaken on a mass scale to, in a sense, cancel the person in question, thus removing their credibility and subsequently their livelihood as a social consequence of their perceived behavior.
So as Reagan was just talking about, a lot of this is taking place on the internet now that social media has risen. We all use it every day. I just wanted to take a moment to talk about two different categories, like celebrities versus politicians and political figures in cancel culture and how they differ. And it definitely does vary between the two categories. So in history, like as we've seen, most of the time we view politicians as higher up. They have a higher authority, and then they're almost considered untouchable when it comes to any repercussions for their actions. Usually we see celebrities utilizing social media, but lately there's been an increase in politicians using it as well. But typically there's more cancellation done to celebrities that have actual repercussions rather than political figures. Everything that political figures do is for like a calculated political move, so anything that they do is like usually going to cause a conflict between parties, so there's always going to be some support there. And people feel the need to like defend their particular party. So if like a liberal had posted something, usually there's going to be a lot of support from the left side of the spectrum, and a lot of antagonistic tendencies from the right side. So because they always have support from their members, it's less likely that the cancellation is actually going to be successful, which we'll talk about a little bit more later. But celebrity cancel culture can be considered more detrimental because celebrities tend to face more repercussions for their actions and could be considered more successful, although we will, like I said, talk more about successful cancel culture in the future. But cancel culture does vary based on the categories, and between celebrities and political figures there are some differences, as I mentioned.
And I think it's a lot easier for, I guess, like you can consider us like the common folk, to look at celebrities and people we've been talking about in the news and just like on our timelines on Twitter and Instagram and whatever have you, that we're like, oh, we kind of know them, so we have the authority to say what they can and can't do. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really interesting distinction to make about like the kinds of people who most often, not always, but most often are the ones that we're considering cancelable, if you will.
Yeah, we definitely feel more connected to celebrities sometimes rather than political figures, because like sometimes they've risen from nothing and we kind of come relate from that, or like they have similar experiences to us. So I feel like we find a little bit more in common with celebrities rather than the political figures. So it's easier to feel like, hey, I know that person and I can make judgment on them.
Yeah, I feel like now we all kind of have a good idea about what cancel culture is and how it came about. So I'm going to talk about one of the issues that I personally have with cancel culture, and that's the idea of a growth versus fixed mindset. So a growth mindset is the idea that through experiences and through like working on yourself and interactions with others, you can improve. You can improve whether it be like in classes or your personality or just anything that makes you a more mature person can be considered growth. And our society in general has kind of accepted this idea of a growth mindset after showing that it does work. You know, like if you, I think we all have experiences where we've grown as people and then we think that we come out of the experience someone that's better and someone that's more educated. So one issue with that related to cancel culture is that we often go back and find things that people said 10 years ago and then hold them to that now. So that really implies that the person hasn't had the opportunity or ability to change since then. And that can be really problematic because, again, you're just not believing that someone can actually change, which is a very fixed mindset. So I think that that is personally an issue that I have with cancel culture.
I definitely agree. I think especially in a society where we're trying to be like, we're trying to tell people that you can learn, you can grow, and you can improve from where you were yesterday, it's a little bit hypocritical for people to say, oh, we found this tweet you tweeted when you were 14 years old and you're now 35 and running for office, or like you're in this new movie, but we don't think you have the authority, like we don't think you are qualified enough now because of something you did when you were 14. So what is too far in the past to be considered cancelable? That's a really good question.
Yeah, and I mean, going along with that, I feel like oftentimes the notion of canceling someone can be hypocritical in itself. So I feel like when considering cancel culture, you have to consider what the ultimate goal of canceling someone actually is. And I feel like that goal is usually to make them pay consequences for their wrongdoing, right? However, this can often backfire and actually end up hurting the victim more than it is holding the person who did the wrongdoing accountable. So a case where this happened would be the Brett Kavanaugh case, which we will go into deeper a little bit later. But basically, Brett Kavanaugh had some kind of sexual assault allegations against Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. And when people were canceling Brett Kavanaugh, it actually ended up hurting Christine Blasey Ford because people were saying that, oh, like, why is she coming out with this now? Like, why is it an issue now? Also, like, you know, it just had a lot of negative outcomes for her when the ultimate goal was to cancel Brett Kavanaugh. So kind of it canceled her in a way, you know, because it kind of ruined her reputation. This can also be seen in the case of Chris Brown and Rihanna. So Chris Brown had abused Rihanna, right? It was a case of domestic abuse at the time they were in a relationship. However, when people continuously bring this up, they don't really consider how it hurts Rihanna, you know? Like, they don't consider the fact that bringing up this sensitive time for her might actually do her more harm than it is actually doing what they're trying to do, which is cancel Chris Brown. So I feel like that's important to consider.
I think that's a really good example of how it can really, in a, society has the ability to let it backfire on someone. The intention of bringing that allegation against Brett Kavanaugh was obviously to make him account, like put him in a place where he would have to be accountable for his actions.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up maybe doing a little bit more harm than good for the victim in that sense. So since here's already brought a couple of examples up, it's worthwhile, I think, to go into a few more examples, because you can't really identify a good example, like a good case of canceling someone or not canceling something in a proper way than just looking at what we've got in front of us. So just a couple that we're going to like touch on to give you a little bit of background before we begin our more in-depth analysis are people who have been canceled before but are kind of like a little bit softer and just in general ways. So Donald Trump has been trying to be canceled for like literally everything, sexual misconduct, racism, he's being impeached right now, like impeachment inquiry, which is a certain kind of cancel culture, if you will. And then you've got Roseanne and Paula Deen, who are canceled for racist comments, James Charles, who was accused of sexual misconduct and then betraying business partners, And then you've got Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin in the college admissions scandal. So those are just like some ones to keep in mind, some familiar names and personalities that you might be aware of. So going into our in-depth analysis, I wanted to talk about Larry Nassar, who was a serial molester who worked as a physician for the USA Gymnastics national team. And from 1992 to 2005, through Michigan State University, he molested over 250 people, mainly young women. There was a young man involved as well. And he did end up being sentenced to 175 years in prison. So when you look at it from the outside, you know, he kind of got what was coming to him, which is great. The legal system did a great job in doing that. But I think it's important to understand the context of how that kind of canceling in terms of the public eye really influenced the timing of that whole thing, because it was November of 2016 when the allegations started coming forward. That was right after the Summer Olympics in Rio, and some of the victims that came forward were kind of like the America Sweethearts of the gymnastics team, from like Gabby Douglas, Simone Biles, and Allie Raisman. So these women who came back with countless gold medals were now saying that they had to overcome something that they should never have had to come in contact with. So I think that led to even more backlash, but there's something to consider as well, is that his victims weren't just nameless, they were celebrities themselves. And he wasn't necessarily like a celebrity. He's more well known now because of the allegations, but these girls definitely have a celebrity status. And it's also worth noting that this was one of the sparks to the Me Too movement. So there was a lot of people backing this kind of canceling. And there was, I would definitely argue, there was a true and solid basis for why this man should be canceled. I think the court system did a great job in holding him accountable. But analyzing like the status of his victims, the fact that it took 20 years for him to actually pay for what he's done, and even after like people had been raising smaller allegations to the university for such a long time, it's interesting that it took these really famous gymnasts to come forward and say something in such large numbers for him to finally get that canceling that he deserved.
And in contrast to that, someone who I consider to be unsuccessfully canceled is, as we mentioned earlier, Brett Kavanaugh. He was a judge who was nominated by Donald Trump to be a Supreme Court justice. He's in the conservative party, so it was a little bit of a high tension time around whenever he was nominated, because everyone was a little bit all the like people on the left were worried about how it was going to bring a conservative majority into the Supreme Court, and it was just kind of a lot of tension around it. And then right before he was about to be on the Supreme Court, there was an allegation that came up by Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, and she basically said that he exposed himself to her and like pinned her down in college, and there was just a whole allegation about that. And at first she came and she was nameless, she didn't want to be, she wanted to be anonymous, but then she came out and they ended up having her come and testify, and that just ended up, it was like a political nightmare for everyone. There was a lot of things going on from both sides, everyone was kind of coming at her, saying why would she bring this up so late, but Brett Kavanaugh came in, he testified as well and gave his side of the story, and it was just a lot that went down. But ultimately what ended up happening is he did become a Supreme Court justice, and Dr. Ford does face a lot of repercussions now in her daily life where it's not safe for her. There's a lot of threats that are sent her way just because she did have the courage to talk about something that happened in her past. And Brett Kavanaugh is now serving on the Supreme Court, and I would say that it was a pretty unsuccessful canceling. I mean, he's still got his job. It kind of died down after that happened. No one's really talking about it as much anymore. If anything, it's a very good example of unsuccessful canceling, because Dr. Ford faced most of the brute of the force rather than Brett Kavanaugh for his actions. And even if he did face repercussions, it would have just not been on the Supreme Court. Like, it wouldn't have been any legal repercussions for his actions, and he still would have had a job in the end. So I don't consider it ever being a successful canceling for Brett Kavanaugh. There was nothing in the cards for him being successfully canceled because there's just not enough support for it.
Going along with that, I feel like it's important to consider R. Kelly. So, for those who don't already know, world-renowned singer-songwriter R. Kelly was canceled for his repeated sexual abuse of multiple women, including minors. In this case, I feel like it's important to consider the timeline of his crimes, right? So, although he had allegations of sexual assault against him in the 90s, he wasn't successfully canceled until very recently. He was just sentenced to prison on July 11, 2019. So, I feel like you have to look at the pattern of behavior for it to become a successful canceling. I feel like if it's something that happens one time, a lot of people will be like, oh, he made a mistake. You know, like, he can get over it. He or she did this, did that. Like, they can move on, like, going along with the growth mindset that you were talking about, Dawn. But in the case of R. Kelly, it was a repeated thing. It was multiple times, like, 20 years apart. He started in the 90s. He's getting sentenced in 2019. So, with that, I feel like there's a pattern of behavior, and that's why his canceling was successful.
Yeah, I think that another person that was successfully canceled that was more of a celebrity figure instead of a political figure was Kevin Spacey. A lot of us probably know him from his role on House of Cards. Sorry, I almost said Game of Thrones too much in our culture. But he had allegations brought against him in 2017 from sexually assaulting a young man. After that allegation came out, more allegations came out from people in the House of Cards cast and crew who kind of backed that up by saying they also faced sexual harassment and sexual assault from Kevin Spacey. So after that, Netflix dropped him from the House of Cards cast. He got dropped by his agency. His role in a movie that he was currently shooting was reshot with a different actor instead of him. And also a movie that he had starred in that was set to release after was actually, like, still went forward with the release, but it completely flopped. So for me, I think that Kevin Spacey is a really good example of someone that was fully successfully canceled. Like, I personally haven't heard of him starring in anything since. He's kind of removed himself from the public eye, if you will, because nobody, like, again, no one really wants to hear from him at this point.
I got one more example of somebody who was successfully canceled, but I kind of, we're going to, you know, kind of switch into the ethics, or maybe, you know, why, what good has come out of it. So Carson King was he was just a normal guy, and he went viral because of he made a sign at a sporting event that said, you know, I need beer money. He included his Venmo, and just random people. He ended up getting over $1 million in just people sending him money for beer. And instead of, you know, he's like a middle class guy. He's from, you know, the Midwest. Probably could have, you know, changed his life with this money, and instead he actually donated all of it to a children's hospital. And, you know, the Bush Light ended up bringing him on as kind of like a quasi spokesman. He was on the side of some beer cans, you know, a really great thing that he did. And then, you know, the one of the local newspapers ended up digging up some dirt and finding when he was 16 years old, he actually didn't make his own comments, he had quoted from a TV show a racist comment, and that, you know, ended up, he was completely shunned from the public square, you know. Bush Light ended up totally moving away from him and everything. So, you know, this is kind of where we're going to go. Like, what good comes out of some of the canceling? Is it, you know, is it right? Is it effective? Is it good for our society? And I think, you know, in this case, this guy became famous for doing specifically a philanthropic thing and actually did a great thing. And is it right for him, you know, to be canceled and to be, you know, have his life ruined? And it also brings back the hypocrisy, because the reporter that dug up the dirt on him, they actually dug up dirt on him too, and the same thing happened to the reporter. So it's just, we're in this endless cycle right now, people constantly paying prices for things they did 20 years ago, stuff like that. So we'll get into that discussion, right?
And I think it's really interesting too, and I like rounding out our discussion about examples with somebody who nobody's really heard about because he's not famous, he's not a politician, he's not, you know, he didn't have a lot of money until apparently when he got a whole lot of beer money, but he did something positive with that, and it was completely disregarded because of something that he did when he was a lot younger and has probably grown a lot since then, at least we would hope. And I think that's really interesting because there is probably a, you know, I would argue there is an example here of when it is not appropriate to cancel someone. And we'll go a little bit more into that, because we're about to talk about, is it even effective in terms of helping that person move forward and making sure our society continues to move forward together? Because it can get really easy to trap ourselves into this cycle of hate. Just like, you know, this guy did something good, he gets canceled, the reporter who looked him up, he gets canceled, and like it is very cyclical if we aren't careful, because we've all made mistakes. Some worse than others, and some people really do deserve to pay the price for what they've done in their pasts. But there are examples of like statutes of limitations in legal fields, and how do we, if we think that there should be a statute of limitations of our kind of like society of cancel culture, what should they be and how do we define them? So first of all, let's talk about, kind of go back to political versus celebrities. What do we even get out of canceling celebrities and politicians that kind of puts them in a position where it's different than canceling somebody like Carson King, who is pretty much your average Joe?
I feel like we definitely get a sense of retribution. A lot of people do canceling because they feel like it's a punishment that they've created and it's like working for them. It makes them feel better. So I think that a lot of times, like, people love to pass judgment on others. It's something that we do every day, is we judge other people. And sometimes it feels pretty good to judge someone who we deem higher than us. So like a celebrity, it just feels really good if we can successfully cancel them or just make them like suffer some sort of consequences, even if their offense isn't even that to the extent of like sexual misconduct. Like, it's just maybe a racist tweet from 20, 30 years ago or something like that. Like, it just feels good to have someone, like, to have some your judgment be correct and have someone like pay for that.
I definitely agree, and I think a lot of people, when they're kind of like jumping onto this kind of mob mentality, because it's really easy to sit at home and you see the hashtag trending of like cancel Kevin Spacey party, and you're like, oh, that'll be fun. I mean, hop on that, and it takes a couple words and a tweet, and that's all you have to do to participate. But it adds to that mob mentality, and it brings more people in a way that really locks a person into, I mean, Kevin Spacey maybe wasn't. Kevin Spacey, he's the example of effective canceling, so we're gonna leave that at that. But it can, and people who maybe like are doing like one instance of something that maybe wasn't as bad and they can really learn from it, it might do a little bit more damage to them than actually pushing them to move forward and be a better person, because it's hard for them to see the positives in being kind of like called out in this way.
Yeah, I think that if our culture had more of a back and forth kind of mentality, kind of a conversational aspect of a cancel culture, then that could really benefit all the parties involved. It would be more of a chance to educate people rather than a chance to just kind of like tell them what you did was wrong, so now we're never going to listen to you again. You know, if you don't have a space for people to converse, then it's much less likely that they're going to actually change their mentality. And I think that Jenna Werthmann, who's a writer for the New York Times, put this really well. She said, cancel culture doesn't really work. You can't just cut problematic people and problematic cultural properties or entities out because it's whack-a-mole, right? You're dealing with the symptoms of a sick society rather than actually treating the disease. So a lot of the things that people are canceled for, whether it be sexual assault or racism, are problems with society. Like, there are issues that we have in our society and the way that we educate people and the way that we tell people how to act. Whereas people are certainly responsible for their actions, but if we don't make it a conversation, it's much less likely to evoke change.
I definitely agree. So, kind of going back into like, how far is too far in the past, and like, how bad is bad enough to consider canceling? What do you guys think? I mean, if somebody pulled back, like, into somebody's Twitter when they're 16 years old, do you think that that's worth it?
I think it's hard to definitely draw a line, you know, like the line is so muddy, you know, where can you draw it? But I think what would be responsible for both people, both society and the person in the public light, you know, I think people should definitely call them out. I think it's right to do that. But I also think they should give the public should give that person a chance to maybe explain himself, maybe show that him or her how they've been able to come past it. Because I think what we see now is, you get on this cancel culture and they just run with it, and they have no chance to maybe respond to it, or, you know, hey, this was me 20 years ago, I'm a different person now. Like, people are not given that chance to, you know, maybe explain themselves or maybe show how they've come to better themselves. And I think society needs to give each other a chance to show that they can grow. And it goes back to that growth mindset that's really important, I think, for sure.
One thing that I saw on Twitter that I was a really big fan of that I don't think that I see enough is I saw someone who was running for office call out someone else for their recent actions that were racist. And that person, when they called them out, had it as part of a thread, so multiple tweets linked in a row, and they wrote about how there was a time where they also were like racist in their actions and words, and they talked about how they grew from that. And they showed, they pulled their own old behavior out, so they kind of did a self-cancel, like canceled their previous iteration of who they were. And they talked about how they were able to change and the things that they had done since then to improve. So that's something that I would personally like to see more, and I think that that demonstrates a maturity that a lot of people don't seem to have when arguing online or when just like calling people out. So I think that that is a really good way to kind of demonstrate that you do understand the extent and intensity of your actions and the result of those, but you also can show how you personally have taken steps to overcome that.
Mm-hmm. So what about people who are kind of put on a pedestal, like celebrities who we've grown up with, or we love their TV show, and it ends up, you know, like, what if you really liked R. Kelly's music, and he was, like, your childhood icon, and then you find out all these things, and you're like, well, if I listen to him, it's like a moral dilemma, in a sense, but how can we discredit somebody's life achievements? Like, do you think that that kind of aspect of it is worth it?
I feel like going along with, like, people make associations early in their life, you know? Like, if you grew up listening to R. Kelly, like, you grew up listening to Chris Brown, there might have been, like, sensitive periods of your life where you were listening to their music, you know? So you're always in the back of your mind, you're going to be like, I still like him, you know? Like, he does, like, bad things, like he did. Like, I get it. There, at some point, I feel like people have to separate the art from the artist. And, you know, like, his achievements are still his achievements. And I understand the sentiment that, like, if you listen to his music still, you're kind of supporting him in a way. But at the same time, I feel like that's too hard for a lot of people to do. If they have those associations made with that person already, it's very hard to go. You can't go into someone's mind and change that.
Definitely. So I feel like it's important for, I kind of disagree with that sentiment a little bit, just because I feel like it's important as a society that we can grow as well. And so I don't think that we should hold on to like a childhood like figure or a childhood figure like that we really love if they're doing stuff like R. Kelly is doing personally, just because that's kind of scary and not at all something that I would ever like to like hold in my mind as someone that I value. You know, if someone does something like that, like I can easily just be like, oh no, stay away. Like, I don't support people like Chris Brown, you know, don't listen to his music because that's giving him support and like going into his revenue. And so I believe that it's easier to move on from things. Like, if we're gonna have this growth mindset, we all have to be able to move on. And if we can move on to maybe another artist who's less problematic, or someone who doesn't have sexual allegations or sexual misconduct allegations or stuff that's actually been proven against young girls or something like that. I think it depends on the situation, but I feel like we should be okay with just like, as a society, not passing our own judgment, because everyone's judgment is different, but like being able to recognize something as bad if it's like, first of all, violating a law that was, then that's bad for a reason. And so I think we should recognize that that's not okay, and we can't like condone it, because then otherwise other like celebrities like this who do stuff like this, they're always gonna know that their music's still gonna be supported, or their TV show or movie.
So I have kind of like a follow-up question about that. What if somebody who didn't necessarily break a law, but they broke kind of a social taboo or a socially accepted kind of standard, what if they apologize? What if they're completely put on blast, and for a good reason, but they apologize? Do we think that that's enough? Have they learned? Is that allowing them to be, you know, taking part in growth mindset?
I personally feel like it's different for every case. You can't draw a straight line for that. It's really hard, because if someone is sexually assaulting people, I personally wouldn't take an apology from them. But maybe like a racist remark 25 years ago, and you've grown and you've shown a pattern of growth, then yes.
I agree. I think that each case is unique, and I think there's a difference between like violent crimes and like sexual crimes versus like a remark that someone made 20 years ago. But it is really hard to find exactly what that line's going to be, and I do think that it's different for each person. So for example, like even if someone sexually assaulted someone like 20 years ago, I don't want to listen to their music. Yeah. But for other sort of sort of crimes or sort of like crimes against our social norms, I think that there is kind of a period of time that it has to fall into in order for me to completely stop listening to an artist. Yeah, but I do think that that's something that everyone needs to decide for themselves. So now everyone knows how.
That's a really good point. So today we kind of discussed what is cancel culture, you're now more woke for it, and kind of the benefits and some of the drawbacks that can arise in this kind of mob mentality that is really easy to fall into. We've addressed some examples, we've looked at effective and ineffective canceling, and kind of created some standards for what we believe anyway could be positive ways to move on after someone is being canceled, and how we think a positive canceling, like what that form can take. So join us next week when we talk about goodness knows what. And thank you so much for tuning in. Again, I am Reagan. We've got Don, Amanda, Alex B., and Dave. Thanks so much for listening to the Collections Podcast.